what our neighbor means to us. Cast me not off in my old age, forsake me not when my powers fail. Psalm 71:9. The great secret of attainment is to find the kingdom within, the universal creative consciousness and the right use of that consciousness. This is the only source of power, and we will experience this power when we begin to think with understanding. Everyone is seeking the attainment of the Christ consciousness, the creative consciousness within. You will never know what consciousness is. You will only know that it is. The cause behind all creation is this universal consciousness, which is also established in man. Known as the Christ consciousness, and Jesus found it through complete elimination of all that was in his mind, contrary to the consciousness itself. He saw clearly that he was the creator of all conditions. He saw clearly that he was one with the life that created everything in the first place. He saw he could not be separate in any way from any human being. He saw clearly and distinctly that the whole universe and he were one whole, and there could be no separation between him and the universe in any way whatsoever or anything in it. He knew he was the stones, he knew he was the animal, he knew he was the human being, he knew he was the angel, he knew that he was God. That takes a long time for the consciousness to become aware of. And when it does, then the power begins to flow, because the mind is cleared of everything that prevents the picturing of the absolute idea. Therefore, there is the absolute idea held in the consciousness, and there is the relative idea, or the relative aspect of the same idea, which is outpictured in form. That two aspects must be brought together before you can understand creation. The absolute idea then is held completely in the infinite consciousness, because there can be no other consciousness but the infinite consciousness in man. Then that must be expressed through the mind, and the mind is the medium through which the idea must be expressed in form. If the mind is cluttered up with a lot of conflicts and conditions, and is conditioned by reactions, by conflict, then the expression of the idea is a very relative one, and a very poor one indeed. So you see, the clearer the mind, the freer the mind, the more absolute is the idea. The absolute is the expression. The mind then is the vehicle through which the picture must be expressed, and the divine consciousness is that ray of light that permeates the picture so it will become manifest upon the screen of life. Man's consciousness then is the only power there is, the universal creative consciousness, and the right use of that consciousness. This is the only source of power, and we will experience this power when we begin to think with understanding. You have seen before that everything is electrical. Everything is atomic. There is nothing in the world today existing in form, but it is atomic. And the basis of the atom is electromagnetic. And every form, no matter what it is ether modified. Ether interpenetrates it and carries into the very core of the atoms vibrations created by consciousness or mind. Jesus turned water into wine, a very simple process of transmutation, by changing one element into another by knowing how. But he must know the underlying principles of the atom before it could be done. And the masters in the East knew what we call the ancient atomic philosophers, who were scientists in their own way, by using the mind and consciousness as a means of transforming the atoms in form, raising their vibrations or lowering their vibrations. And this is a science that is known to the masters. But it can only be done when the mind is cleansed and cleared of all conflicts and contradictions. Because if your mind is in a state of contradiction, then you can never do anything. Because it is the means through which you're going to outpicture the idea. The individualization of the highest universal intelligence becomes our creative power to the corresponding degree that we recognize it and nothing else. Upon this inner self we must rely, and not upon another self, however great. The universal creative intelligence becomes individualized through the individual when it is fully realized by the individual as the only source of life and action. There can be no other source of life and action but that universal consciousness, which is individualized in the individual, but not separate or distinct from the whole of consciousness, but has individualized itself in the individual as a means of creativeness. And as the individual begins to realize then, this individualization is not a separation, but is the totality of consciousness expressing itself behind all movement and all creation in the universe. That is why John said clearly, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and nothing came into being except by the Word. And when Jesus said, I am before Abraham, he wasn't thinking about any personal individual that existed before Abraham. He was thinking entirely of his oneness with life. The Master said, it's the Father, whoever remains in me, who is performing his own deeds. The connecting link between the universal and the individual is the conscious awareness of this great truth that the Master revealed, and this truth must be found by the individual through action. Not merely through belief, because belief will not give you it at all. If it is a belief, it's only in your mind. It's of no value. It must be through action that you must find this consciousness within yourself. Your minds can still be in conflict. Your minds can still be one thing contradicting another. Your minds will still exist in the double state, as it always will be, until such time as you have reached beyond these two opposing ideas which control the mind and are always in contradiction to one another in the mind. Therefore, there is confusion. But when you bring them both together and you see clearly good and evil, there is neither good nor evil left. It disappears. When you bring success and failure together, you find there is neither success nor failure. When you bring health or ill health together, you find there is no ill health or health whatsoever. There is just the expression of that which is divine consciousness in itself. So the mind is always in contradiction. You're always afraid because of this contradiction. You're always in confusion because of this contradiction. Therefore, the truth must be found by the individual through action, not merely through belief. The thoughts that flow from a consciousness that is freely aware produces results 100-fold. The whole universe is made manifest in form from the formless through the direct action of thought. The basis of this great creation is founded on love. The law of permanent growth in us depends upon the law of love and how to express it. In other words, what profit has man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Paul says, I may distribute all I possess in charity, but if I have no love, I make nothing of it. Sure then, the secret behind all creation and perfect creation is love. The secret behind all action and true action is love. But if you have two opposing forces in your mind, and they're almost uppermost in your mind, if one is not uppermost, so is the other. If good is uppermost now, evil will be uppermost in a few minutes. And therefore good will be uppermost again and then evil again. Success and failure the same, health and ill health the same, and how are you going to get out of it? You bring them both together and they disappear into nothingness, and there you have the complete thing, love itself, which stands alone as the creative principle behind everything existing in the universe, and consciousness in love, and love in consciousness, is the secret of true creation. You may ask me for the rule of successful living, and I will refer you to the Master's words, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the big and most wonderful thing he comes to, he draws a breath, and then he says definitely and clearly, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. These words challenge us. Yet we push them aside, saying, it may be a virtue, but it's not practical. If you knew my neighbor, you wouldn't love him either. So we go on the same old thing. We stand up on our feet and we say these stupid things. Naturally, when you recognize the true source of your neighbor and you see behind the falseness, the error, the expression of the self in all its hideousness, in its greed, in its pompous ways, in all the ways of the self, when you recognize them and see them. But if you're seeing all these things in your neighbor, you're only seeing them in yourselves, because if you were innocent of these things, you would not even see them. When you are innocent of anything, you do not know anything about it. It is only when you are not innocent that you know these things. Therefore, your neighbor is yourself. Now, how are we going to get over this hurdle? We begin to see that we do not talk about our neighbor, as Jesus said again, the most important point that I want to show you is this, because behind it is our thought and our thinking. And we know perfectly well that when we think and create an idea that is negative and destructive, we begin to pull down the very atomic structure of our own bodies. I have a habit, and I always stay that habit. If anybody talks to me about somebody in a disparaging way, I shut up. I say nothing at all. But in my mind, I counteract that so quickly that it soon slows down. No one will talk to me about anybody, I can tell you that, before they're shut up with a thought that charges their mind and always reels them off their feet. Therefore, the thing is to see this. And the words of the Master, as I said, was the attitude we must take. Take the plank out of your own eye, you hypocrite. Then you will see better how to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. So love your neighbor as yourself. These words challenge us. We put them aside, saying it may be a virtue, but it is not practical. But without the observance of this law, no successful living can be attained. Why? Because you create with your own thoughts a condition in your own body and circumstances, and your thoughts permeating your body enters into your circumstances and goes beyond in waves electromagnetic in nature, which the ether carries, and you will realize this. When you begin to ask yourselves, am I adding to the misery of the world, or am I adding to the joy and happiness that could be in the world? Our neighbor is not only essential to us economically and socially, but is also the expression of the one whole to which we all belong. If we are to accomplish successful living, we must understand the joint relationship of ourselves, our neighbor, and the creative principle that lies behind all. The consciousness of this relationship will create a new world for all to live in. Unfortunately, the motive to help, to serve others, is not always pure. For within the desire, there is hidden pride and conceit. The clamor to help is more often born of vanity. And we see this very often in all those people, in those so-called charitable organizations. Do they care a tuppenny damn for the person who they're collecting for? Not in your life. They're only concerned with their own ego, so they can probably get the picture in the paper. Mrs. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so is the head of this such charitable bazaar and so forth. But do you think that they care one tuppenny damn for whether a person dies or lives? Not in your life. They'll have their supper the same night, they'll go to bed, and they'll sleep as sound as a top, thinking no more about it. They're not concerned in those things. Why? Because they have not discerned themselves. I'm not saying that these charitable organizations are not doing good, but what an imitation for the real! Everyone who takes part in these things should be utterly ashamed of themselves, knowing the imitation and knowing what the real should be. If we would help our neighbor, we must first know ourselves, for we are the other fellow. Outwardly we may be different, but inwardly, we are very much alike, driven by craving, greed, and ambition. And there's no use of beating around the bush. Plain words means plain things. And you're students now of the highest possible course on training the mind and spiritual knowledge and understanding. Without knowledge of the self, we will not understand the other's needs. Without this understanding, we are acting in ignorance, so creating more misery for ourselves and others. If we are inwardly diseased by ignorance, ill will, desire for conquest, full of possession and hatreds, we will spread darkness, misery and strife. If we begin to understand ourselves and become inwardly aware of true values, we will spread light and peace. How can you find out what true values are? By only finding out what the false values are. But if you're caught up in false values, can you ever know the true values? Never. The self is a series of volumes and cannot be understood in a day. But once we begin to study, we must study every word and know it from beginning to end. For the end is in the beginning, and the beginning is in the end. If we can understand ourselves and the many paragraphs of which we are made up, then divine wisdom will be found. So it is not a mere day or night or a few hours that is necessary in becoming aware of our actions and reactions, our thoughts. We must be continually aware. Therefore we'll see then the self is cause of most of our troubles. Our dreams are made up of our inhibitions and cravings, our unfulfilled desires, our fears, and all that beset us in our waking hours. Is it not necessary then that we become aware of our thoughts and emotions in our waking hours instead of being caught up in them? Our sleeping hours are but the intensification of our waking hours. The proof is found in the problem that we are unable to solve in our waking hours. Yet when we sleep over it, the answer is awaiting us when we awake in the morning. We see new avenues which enable us to solve the problem which seemed insurmountable. There has been a lot of nonsense talked and written about the mystery of this phenomenon. And the answer is quite plain to the one who understands the wholeness behind everything. So in this so-called sleep, I'm telling you, because most people who are wakeful and waking are asleep. And we have a so-called sleep of the so-called waking people. This thin layer of outer consciousness is quiet and becomes more receptive. During so-called waking hours, the outer consciousness has worried over the problem and has become weary and tense. When the tension is removed, the promptings of the deeper consciousness are discernible, and when you wake up, the problem becomes easier to solve. So the more we are aware of our thought feelings during the day, so the mind becomes quieter. If you fear something, a problem you cannot understand, if you're worried about it, consequently, your inner conscious must also feel the impact of the outer consciousness. But these two are one. There is no separation in consciousness. But this alertness must not only be for a few seconds or during set periods. Practice is required, for the outer consciousness is not used to such intensity of awareness. Yet through practice the mind becomes alertly passive to receive promptings from the deeper consciousness in the waking hours. The more aware you are in the outer, so the inner cooperates, with the result that there is a deeper and wider understanding of all things. The universal consciousness begins to peep its way through the consciousness of the individual. Because it is the same consciousness, Yet the individual being individualized, you and I and everyone else, not realizing the source of our own consciousness, puts a blanket over it and covers it up. And we're no longer aware of that benign, beautiful, creative principle that is always waiting to give expression to itself through the outer consciousness of man. So if the outer consciousness is continually taken up with reactions to things external to itself through fear, through anxiety and troubles, then you'll find that your dreams will be nothing more than those fears, those unfulfilled desires, those troubles, those conflicts. So the answer is, the more you are aware during waking hours, the less dreams there are. For dreams are but the indication of thought, feelings, actions, and desires not completed, not understood. They need fresh interpretation because of frustration. If you are frustrated, then you will find you've got to interpret them afresh, because they will rise up again and again in the same form, or nearly the same form. Some dreams are of no importance, but those of them will remain or may come up in another form, yet identical in nature. Through keen intelligence and awareness in the waking hours, they will reveal their nature. But if you're too lazy to be aware and go to dream specialist, he will interpret according to his understanding, which will be entirely out of line with the cause within yourself. So you cause further frustration. He becomes a new priest to you, and you have added another problem to the many you already have. I have told you so often, and so often I will tell you again, that it is necessary for you to become aware of your thoughts and actions in your waking state. You are the best dream interpreter because of the conditions that brought about your dream. They will reveal themselves if you become aware. And you will release all these conflicts, suppressions, and conditions that are holding you back. These are inhibitions. If you become aware, even for brief moments at first, they will certainly increase, and this will bring a new feeling which is not the result of craving, but a feeling which is free from all personal limitation. As this gathers momentum, you become more deeply aware, and this awareness will continue, even while you are engaged in other things. There is an awareness that is part and parcel of the individual in himself or herself. This awareness is always active, and words that you begin to express, you become aware of. Your actions you begin to react to, you become aware of. Conditions around you, you become aware of. And there is no longer any fear, but there is an expansion of the self and a clearing of the mind. All your troubles is this, because you are frustrated, caught up in your conditions, caught up in your reactions, and you have got conflict and opposition and contradiction in your minds. You will notice one thing which is all important, that is, while you are engaged in the necessary daily duties, even though your whole attention may be concentrated upon them, there is an inward awareness that continues, revealing a greater intelligence behind all things. It reveals that which is eternal and ever-present. In this state of consciousness, all is possible. And with your action, there is no reaction. This is the freedom I want you to have. Think now. With your action, is there any reaction? That's a question that you've got to answer. Freedom comes when you know there is nothing but love as a creative principle. That all other things are but ideas, conflicts, and contradictions. You discern your thoughts. There is no longer any trouble. There is no longer any frustration. The relative world passes away. And then there is a revealing of that which is real in its nature, that nothing can touch, that nothing can harm. It is immortal, eternal, is ever present. Nothing can touch it. It is the greatest power in the whole universe. It is universal consciousness. It is the creative power behind all things. It is free, unconditioned. Through this method, our limited intelligence becomes unlimited, which enables us to overcome our mental and material conditions, enables us to manifest in the world with perfect freedom in thought, feeling, reaction. No man is wise by himself. I of myself am nothing, but with God all things are possible. So, all things are possible when you know, when you have arrived through awareness of all that is false, then there is awareness of that which is real. Although you will never know what reality is, you will know that it I have reached that stage when all that false side of nature I have seen clearly. I have seen the product of my own mind. I have seen my own thoughts. And if I have sent one out sometimes, it may not be in accordance with love itself. I send one often with love, and in everything I do, I feel love is a supporting thing for all my thoughts. Let the basis then of your thoughts be fundamentally based upon love itself, and nothing can go wrong with you. It is the conscious realization of this magnificent fact that enables us to transcend the limited sense of our outer consciousness and enter into the deeper consciousness to receive power, understanding, and authority that is ours, waiting at all times to be used when we have found the source. But the source cannot be found until we have first become deeply aware of thought, feeling, reaction to all that is external and understanding. As this awareness deepens, we become conscious of our relationship to the creative principle behind all things, thereby consciously employing this creative principle in the great scheme of life for the benefit of the whole. The three are one, become one, not separate. Self, the Christ, the Father become one. The personal self disappears into nothingness. It dissolves away and the Christ rises to take its place. Then the Christ realizes the completeness of himself, born in the very beginning, was with God. Always with him. Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the world? I was with thee when thou layest the foundation of the world. Then he begins to see through clear consciousness, not through belief, but through action. You can never reach anything through belief. What you know is of no value to you, but what you do and can do is of a different value altogether. Some of you think that you are not yet capable of doing anything. Is the word not given that the word will be given to you at that moment? That you do not have to seek the word? It will be given to you at that moment? Some of you are afraid because you think, well, I'm incapable of helping someone else. Try it and see. Do you know that it's easier to help other people than to help yourselves? As this awareness deepens, the consciousness of our relation with the creative principle behind all things is that which produces everything in ourselves. When the Self, the Christ, the Father become one, this is the universal all. The Son of Man becomes the Son of God and enters into his eternal home, partaking of all the attributes of the universal all. We have but to speak and he hears. The Spirit in man is not separate from the Spirit of God. Therefore we all meet in the Christ that is within. Our breathing is but the expression of him who created us, and we will know that he is nearer than hands and feet. The Spirit in man is not separate from the Spirit of God. We must cease to look upon ourselves as separate from our neighbor, thereby separating ourselves mentally from the great creative source. If you feel this separation, you must get rid of this separation, because it's frustration. So we must cease to look upon ourselves as separate from our neighbors, and we must find out clearly why this separation is entered into our minds. When we discern these facts, we'll find that the separation disappears because it does not exist. When you find that these things do not exist through your own awareness, discernment, then the mind begins to clear. But can you ever clear your mind if you're caught up in separation? When we have become aware of what we are doing, we will cling to true values. By then we will banish savagery and barbarism from the world. War and crime against humanity will continue until man finds the Christ within himself. And no matter what you do or how you try to banish war, crime, savagery, barbarism, and all these things will exist. No League of Nations, no United Nations, no other nations in the world or any party or political party, no religious party or any other scheme of any kind can ever bring about that which is the fundamental to eliminate war and strife and misery from the world. That which is fundamental is that man must find the Christ within himself. There is no other way. No matter what schemes you prepare, no matter what economic schemes you prepare, no matter what religious denomination that may come into operation, no matter what revival may come into operation, it will die just as it rose. Why? What will kill it? Damned ignorance, that's what will kill it. And it will keep on killing it until such man comes to his senses to understand and find the Christ within himself. By discerning everything else that is not Christ, that is not love, wherein only is God's revelation revealed, is the Christ within, enabling us to unite our highest mental and physical efforts for the benefit of all. In the security of all lies our own security. For there is no security in separation. There is no power in a Christ separate from man himself. It is but an image in the mind, a mere belief. So there is no power in a Christ that is separate from man himself. How can there be a power separate from man himself? The Christ is the living expression of God in man. It is God himself. And that's why Jesus knew and truly knew, although he did not make it complete and say, I am God, but he said, I and the Father are one, which is just the same. When mankind makes this the common ideal, it will grow into that which God has already established for man. Love and wisdom are the pillars upon which this foundation stands and upon which all true action is determined. Not until we can embrace the whole, with our natures transformed, will we be released from sorrow and conflict, resulting from our actions caused by the ignorance of the law of our being. But as long as we react to maintain the effects of our wrong thinking and actions, we'll continue to eat the fruit thereof. Are we not reacting to maintain the effects of our wrong thinking continuously? Is there any effort at all to show man right thinking? Is it not that he is continually falling up the effects and eating the fruits thereof? And it will continue. Make sure of that. Paul says in Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectations of all mankind waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. How true are these words? Therefore, our spiritual evolution begins when we realize the truth of our being. Know thyself, to thine own self be true. Thou canst not then be false to any man. To be true to ourselves, we must be true to all other selves. Each one of us must please our neighbor by doing good unto him, by building up his faith in mankind. And how are we to build up his faith in mankind? By showing him how to discern his own thoughts, his reactions and conditions, by seeing the whole of the things that are false, by seeing himself and knowing his cravings, his greeds, his ambitions, and all these things that are relative in nature, which are covering up and blinding the great creative power that is hidden within man himself. Because through these reactions, he's using this creative power in such a way that he is destroying himself. While if he knew the source of creative principle, which is the basis of love, then he would know everything that is false. Because when you know real love, you know everything that is false. Therefore, search deep in your souls and find this key, which is true love. Love, no matter how it may be expressed, it is only a matter of expressing itself in one way or another, but love is the source of it. But trace it to its source and find it there in all its glory and in its beauty and its perfection. Then you will know everything that is false, untrue. Our love for our neighbor is the divine protection we have against all that assails us. It places us in a constructive, harmonious relationship with others. and with him who created us in his own likeness. It will produce in our minds a state of certainty in a world where our individual plans are sure to prosper with the greatest possible success. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Benediction. O eternal and ever-present life, my life is thine, and thine is mine. I did not ask thee for freedom from conflict and sorrow. The cause in myself is the cause. I have now learned that ignorance has its roots in my stupid self. I now know that with thy ever-present life in me, I am already free, because I was never bound except in my own mind. When I see human suffering beyond human endurance, I know that the realization of thy presence is the cure. Therefore I do not pray to thee in separation, but in unity. For we are all alive and living in thee, and thee in us. This is the peace we can have now, individually and collectively. O beloved, eternal one.